Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. And they're all for your audio, video, needs. And also, HagmanStore.com for In the Dark of Night, the book, coffee. Coffee is, I'll tell you what, coffee's going, out the door like crazy. We attempt to get it to your door in 3 days after roasting, within 3 days after roasting. This weekend, Alex Jones had a big, well, last week or end of last week and this weekend, Alex Jones had a rather large, devoted a rather large segment of his program to potential false flags. And you know, I can see where this is about to take place. We're about to see something happen to exacerbate the current political divide. Now, to show you a little bit about what's taking place or how bad this political divide is, and at the epicenter of this divide, not responsible for it, but at the epicenter, of course, is President Donald Trump. But to show you how bad this is, let's check out this MSNBC clip. It's about 2.5 minutes long. It's courtesy, I believe, of the Daily Caller. But, you know, when you start slinging names of President Donald Trump supporters as maggots, okay? Now, on network TV, there's a distinction, there's a line that is being crossed there. Now, you might say, well, that's pretty disingenuous because I've heard you call people maggots before, but I've never done that on network television. You know, I've been on network television. I've never done that on syndicated radio. In the larger venues, I've never done that, but yet this is how the supporters of the Make America Great Again, and I'm not talking about supporters of President Trump necessarily, I'm talking about supporters of the agenda of President Trump, how they're being characterized. Watch this.
I agree with Brother Tim in speaking about, you know, the maggots. I'm sorry, the MAGA. We have stood by to see mediocre, mealy-mouthed, snowflake white men who are incapable of taking critique, who are willing to dole out infamous repudiations of the humanity of the other, and yet they call us snowflakes. They are incapable of criticism. They are incapable of tolerating difference. They're scared of, oh my God, critical race theory is going to kill your mother. And they don't even know. They're not critical. They have no race and they don't understand theory. And they couldn't save themselves if the world depended on it. And I am tired of hearing mediocre white men take to their pulpits to excoriate women and trans people and bisexuals and black folk. It is time that we in America take back this country for certain and to seize the reins of authority so that rhetorics of compassion, discourses of empathy, and love in the most radical sense possible would prevail. I read right-wing stuff every day. I ain't no right-winger. I try to understand and get beneath what it is that drove that rage.
They don't want to know the truth. They want to know what's true to them. They want to know their truth. And their truth is this election was rigged. Well, why don't you just Google this? And why don't you just look at the election returns? They're desecrating all the things that the American flag is a symbol of. So you will fight to the death for the symbol. You just won't give a damn for a second about the thing that symbol stands for. America, love it or leave it. If you don't have respect in American democracy anymore, if your guy doesn't win, if that's the new rules of engagement for this great republic, then just leave our country. There are millions of immigrants who will come here and raise their right hand and buy into the creed and believe that we are exceptional, that believe American democracy is the greatest government on the face of the earth. And most importantly, they will fight for what that flag represents.
Right,
will you shame?
Okay, so a couple of things there. What creed is he referencing? What flag is he referencing? And the immigrants coming in, they will fight. But what are they fighting for? And I think that this is where we're at today. I'm going to say this. That,
and
yes.
Where was his rant when Trump stole the election from Hillary?
Wait a minute. Where was his rant when Trump
stole? He's complaining about us, complaining about it when they were complaining about it last election.
Well, that's very true, of course. And I'm not sure if I have this or not, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm looking at my show notes here. I'm not sure if I have this or not, but
and to the first dude, whoever
yes.
he is.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He's a snowflake.
Indeed. And I want to say thank you.
Snowflake, snowflake, snowflake.
And critical race theory, okay, we're not afraid of it. You know, Eric the Tech, and by the way, happy Monday to you, my friend.
You too.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. How about you?
A little rough weekend, I'll just say that. I'm not going to get into details. Anyway. Yes, I did. I did. It's fine. You're exactly right. There was a, I can't remember if it was on the War Room, if it was on, OAN or who talked about that very issue you brought up about Hillary. And you know, Hillary not conceding. I might even have that, but you know, in the larger sense, here is my message today. Prepare for something to happen. I mean, a false flag type of an event. And again, Alex Jones was on this on Friday and on Saturday and throughout the weekend and here and there. Expect it. Be prepared for it. And the more people who are prepared for it and watching for it, they can identify it, I believe. Because they've got to do something. When I say they, I am referring to the people in power or who act like they're in power, our employees, okay, our federal employees. Schumer is our employee, well, the employee of his constituents, and so on, okay? So, but the people who really run the things behind the scenes I have a feeling, are planning something, because you've got a convergence of events that are taking place right now. You've got the Arizona audit, the information coming out. When's that going to come out? I don't know, but they, I believe they closed the last box of ballots, this past weekend. And that's happening. You've got other states that are looking to conduct forensic audits, much like Arizona. And the left is scared to death of this. The communists in power are scared to death of this. Then you've got this talk about this Delta variant of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Is that really a variant? And speaking of variants, you know, coronavirus is different from influenza. Influenza A and influenza B, coronaviruses are different. You've got multitudes of coronaviruses. It's really the undergirding of a common cold. So you've got this fright of, or the scare tactic of the Delta variant. Meanwhile, and this report came out today, which I thought was rather interesting when you take a look at this. You've got 576 preborn babies who have died following their mothers getting COVID-19 injections. Yeah, sign me up for that. And then you've got the, as Austin spoke about last Friday. And by the way, Ted will be on this Friday. Just saying. You've got more deaths as a result of the jab in the last 10 months than you've had in the last two decades of all vaccines. Okay. It's not a vaccine. It's gene therapy or it's genetic manipulation. So you've got all of this taking place and the curtain is starting to come down behind those lies. So I agree. And I've talked with people. I've talked with certain people. I'm not going to name drop. Okay. But they're in positions to know things. For example, what Roger Stone, the warning Roger Stone has given pretty much consistently over the last 4 weeks. And I believe it was this weekend. I think we have video of him this weekend. With Alex. I'm telling you right now, they're going after President Trump, his organization. Remember when, Eric the Tech, you remember when, that picture, that meme of President Trump and him, the words saying, in reality, they're not after me, they're after you. I'm just in the way, or I'm something to that effect, right? I'm paraphrasing, of course. That's really what's going on. But in this case, they're also after him as well, because they've got to cut the Make America Great Again or American Exceptionalism. They've got to cut that off at the knees, or they've got to kill it dead. And that explains why you've got the illegal aliens, the criminals coming across the border to dilute, to contaminate, to destroy this country. That's why you have really essentially no southern border. That's the highway into the United States. And really the push for a single country of Canada, America, and Mexico and Central America. So that's what's taking place. You know, they want, and Keith Hansen used to say this, you know, you can't come here and escape from where you're at, but you can't do that by bringing there here. And that's what they're attempting to do. And how many people do you see flocking or swimming or boating to, Venezuela? You see them, you know, trying to get into Venezuela under communist rule. And I say communist deliberately, of course, understanding what kind of government it is, but it's still at its root communist. As the veil is ripped, and I'm more certain of this every day, as the veil is being ripped, you can expect a false flag. Oh, and one very important thing I want to touch on today as well. There's a gentleman out there by the name of Bobby Powell. I think he was on today. It's everything's been a blur, okay, with all the things that are taking place. And I want to thank Russ Dizdar and his team. What a great group. And Craig Sawyer, God bless him. Anyway, I took a left turn there momentarily. But Bobby Powell has a video that addresses some of the inconsistencies of the 6th of January. Now, the media, the left, Facebook, all social media, and the legacy media are pushing the false narrative of January 6th. We still have 450 people, plus or minus, in jail from January 6th, but the ones that should be in jail aren't. Yet the FBI has been furnished 1080p video of the individuals responsible for the damage, the coordination. And also we've heard, too, how the FBI solicited others to infiltrate groups and to, well, the FBI was, if not complicit, or if not responsible, complicit for what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. Alex Jones said something on, I think it was Friday or Saturday. He said, you know, John McAfee, he's no longer with us, and he mentioned others. And he said, I'm next. And you might think that's hyperbole. It's not. It's not hyperbole. I wish it was. And I've got no delusions of self-importance, okay? I don't. Because in the grand scheme of things, I'm nobody. But I'll tell you what. You're going to see things, I believe, between now and the end of July, beginning of August, that are just going to be toe-curling, hair-curling events. And again, that comes from people I speak with, I've spoken with in person and elsewise. With me to talk about this and more is John Moore, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Folks, he's got a tremendous radio program every single day, Monday through Friday, that is, on RBN. If you go to thelibertyman.com, which is on your screen as we speak, as well as a link in the program description box, you can listen to his broadcast, his current one. Or dig down, drill down, and you can get his archives. It's just that simple. And on this page, folks, you've got to scroll down. You just can't stop right there. You got to, oh yeah, Biden. Okay. I'm pretending I'm Biden. I wrote the bill. Sorry about that. You can scroll down and, you can see what in fact, he's got some tremendous products, sponsors as well as products of his own. The news is up. I mean, it's tremendous. So just go ahead and bookmark thelibertyman.com. All right. So, John, how are you, sir? Are we there? Yeah, there we go. Hey.
Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. Do you disagree with anything? I don't know how much you caught, but I believe that we're in the soup right now, and I think that I really believe it.
You know, Doug, and I agree with you. Those of us in the alternative media, we get to know each other. We attend conferences. We're on each other's shows, and as men, we grow to know and trust over the years. I started interviewing Jeff Nyquist about 20 years ago or so. I started interviewing Steve Quayle about 1996, 1997, along in there. I've been on Mike Adams' show. Cliff High knows me. We never talked, but he's referenced my work and some of his work. You and I obviously know each other. It's a small group of men who've worked together over the years, and we learned to know each other, to trust each other. My friend Dave Hodges, I've known Dave now for about 10 years or so. There seems to be a consensus among all of us that sometime between the end of summer, Labor Day, the beginning of 2022, there's going to be serious things taking place. Now, going back to Jeff Nyquist, it's a pretty short list, Doug, of men who sat across the interview table from high-ranking KGB defectors. That's a pretty short list. And Jeff Nyquist has done this with a number of high-level KGB defectors. Jeff also has some interesting private contacts in the military, the private sector, and as well as in the government. Private sources that are telling him that the Russians are bringing weapons across the U.S. border from Mexico as we speak. And of course, they pre-positioned their people here decades ago. The Russian Spetsnaz, which is the Russian Special Forces. And I think your job, Doug, and my job, all of us in the alternative media, the men I just mentioned, is to alert people, to warn them, to educate them, so they can make informed decisions about how to prepare themselves and their team for what's coming at us. I emphasize a lot the educating yourself about the COVID vaccination so that my listeners and your listeners also, Doug, can educate others and hopefully, you know, save a life or two, maybe three. It's difficult to educate people about anything regarding health. It really is. But every success is one for the good guys. So I emphasize that a lot. I know you do also, Doug, to help people help themselves, to educate people, to help them get prepared. I look at this summer as maybe the last summer of what's more or less normal, maybe possibly in our lifetimes, Doug. How about you?
I do as well, and I apologize. I just lost my, the end of this. I don't know if you can see it, but I just ripped it out. So, go ahead and talk for a moment so I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I don't have any video of you at all, Doug. I just got a photograph of you wearing your body armor there.
Okay. I apologize. We're a little bit discombobulated. Go ahead and give me 30 seconds. Go ahead and talk.
Roger that. I can handle that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you want to save a life? That's my question. Do you want to save a life? A spouse, a child, a sibling, somebody you go to church with, somebody you work with. Educate yourself about the COVID vaccinations. At my website at thelibertyman.com. You'll find dozens of articles and videos by doctors and scientists. I like to emphasize one scientist in particular, Dr. Mike Yeadon. He's a Brit. He is a former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer. There's four articles and videos right there in panel number one at my website at thelibertyman.com. Dr. Mike Yeadon telling all of us, telling the whole world, that these COVID vaccinations are a depopulation effort. That means they're going to kill us. This means it's going to sterilize us. Young lady, she's a niece of mine. I just got her wedding invitation. I talked to her grandmother the other day. I found out that her and her fiance have both had the COVID shots. They were mandated by their place of employment in the healthcare industry. I told the grandmother, who's also got the COVID shot, I said, these youngsters aren't going to have any children. They've both sterilized themselves by getting a COVID shot. How tragic is that?
Jeez.
A young couple, they're looking forward to their life together. They're in their early to mid-20s. They're both educated. They're both healthcare professionals. And they thought they were doing the right thing for the right reasons, getting the COVID shot so that they maintain their positions and their employment, not knowing that they were permanently sterilizing themselves. And that's on the light side. The dark side of that is they may be killing themselves. And that's happening nationwide, Doug. Young people thinking they're doing the right thing for the right reason. They think they're taking an FDA-approved vaccine. It's not a vaccine, and it's not FDA-approved.
Yeah.
And here's how bad it is. A friend of mine, he's a nationally known artist. I won't mention his name. He plays poker once a month with three medical doctors, and he found out the last time they played poker that all three medical doctors thought the COVID vaccines were FDA approved. And my friend, the artist, he said he had to tell me, no, it's not. It's not FDA.
The medical doctor thought they were FDA approved?
Three medical doctors. He was playing poker. Three. One, two, three. Yes, three. And he said, no, it's got emergency use authorization. It did not go through the normal protocols of a vaccine. It was not tested on animals. And he went on to tell them that previous attempts, and there have been many because it's such a lucrative multi-billion dollar thing to get a vaccine for these coronaviruses.
Man.
Every previous attempt had ended at the point with the animal testing for the following reason. All the animals died. And the doctors were shocked. And obviously, and it's obvious to me, Doug, that these medical doctors, just because they got MD behind their name doesn't mean they've done their due diligence. Not at all.
No, that's true. I've spoken to doctors who have people who have colleagues, like you said, that have no clue over anything. I received and if you're listening, I'm not going to give your name. I'm not even, because I spoke to Steve Quayle about this, and I spoke to a couple of other people about this. In fact, if you're listening, I know you know who you are. You called me. You've got a couple of things in your possession. I'll just leave it at that in case there's any question about who you are. John, what's the before I even address that, I don't even want to address that because if I say something, I don't want to put this person in danger. Okay, so that's why I stopped myself. I don't want to put this because there.
Well, we don't want to, we have to protect our sources. That's just right. Part of being a good journalist. We have to protect our sources. Otherwise, our sources would dry up really quick. So, Doug, what is it you're attempting to say, sir?
I guess there's a couple of things here. There is no more. I don't believe there can be any more debate as to why or how this SARS-CoV-2 virus originated. In my view, based on the totality of evidence, and John, I mean, I'm going to bounce this off you, and you tell me if you believe there's sufficient evidence based on legitimate and verified sources that this was engineered on the premise of the Wuhan lab. However, was funded through grants by the National Institute of Health through Fauci, through NIAID or NIAID, to Ralph Baric, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. This was a bioweapon. Is there any question about the bioweapon status of this?
Not in my mind. And this is June of 2021. By March of 2020, 15 months ago, I was telling people the vaccines are already made in refrigerators waiting to be distributed. I can't prove that. I think there's a high likelihood that they were. And there's no doubt whatsoever that the Wuhan virus is a biological weapon, a very mild one, by the way, only kills 0.3%, not 3%, 0.3% of the people who get it. Yes, it will kill you, but if you're already at risk from death from the regular flu if you die from this. Now, the real biological weapon, of course, is the vaccine. Vaccines, plural. There's four of them.
That's right.
We all know who they are. We know what they are. The hoops that they're jumping through to get people, convince people, they're offering free college tuition. They're offering to put your name in a $1 million lottery. They're offering free beer in some jurisdictions. there's no precedence for this. None. No precedence whatsoever. But I want to segue into another aspect of this,
okay.
And that's the four British Airways pilots who died in 1 week.
Yes, yes.
Now, I have a friend who has contacts inside American Airlines. We've had a 580%, if I got it right, I know it's over 500% increase in canceled flights just in the last week or so. And all they're saying publicly is lack of crew members. They're not giving any more details on that. Now, what I'm finding out, it was news to me, but no surprise. Commercial pilots and military pilots, both, they spend an awful lot of time sitting on their butts and not moving, which doing that long term sets you up for blood clots. Now, we have people, commercial pilots already at risk, and this is not a secret within the airline and the aviation industry. They're already at risk of blood clots because of their profession. Now, you take these people already at risk, and you give them, inject them with something that we know, because we've got the evidence, increases the chance of blood clots. And you've got a cocktail mix there that leads to all kinds of problems, including death. And we also, you know, it was to 2 or 3 weeks ago, the airlines were warning people that had the COVID shots not to fly, just regular passengers not to fly, for the same reason, blood clots. Doug, right. We're killing ourselves. We're absolutely killing ourselves.
You know, you're 100% accurate on what you say. We're finding out that really everything we've been told has been a lie, obviously. And we say this pretty much every time you and I get together and every show. But to convince others, and I think this is where we're at, John, it's easier. What is that saying? It's easier to convince someone. It has something to do with, you know, it's difficult to convince someone that they've been had. You know, it's very difficult to do that. I don't recall the adage, but regardless, I think now people, and this is part of this false flag in the dreaded air quotes, whatever might happen, I think, John, that is going to happen. I really believe that they need such a severe distraction and excuse to clamp down on the rhetoric, patriotic talk coming from the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, American. I mean, they need an excuse to clamp down on us. And because the more the truth comes out, John, about the SARS-CoV-2 being a bioweapon, the more that comes out about the what you said about the genetic modification juice, the blood clots that are happening, the myocarditis and pericarditis of the young people, the fact that you've probably got a 40 times VAERS database. You look at the VAERS database, the vaccine reporting, adverse reporting database, that's probably about 40 times less than what's being reported, and it's sky high right now. So, and what gets me, and I've talked about this, John, how can people not see this, brother?
Well, we could throw out some psychological terms, cognitive dissonance, and so forth. My adult friends, majority of them don't read books. Now, listeners to my show and your show actually do own and read books. They're the exception. Now, in my career as a criminal defense investigator, I've been in hundreds of homes, many hundreds of homes, conducting interviews. Rarely, rarely did I see a bookshelf in the living room of any of these homes. I would say maybe 2 or 3%, if that. The American Library Association says that 3% of the adults in this country have a library card. Half of them, which would be 1.5%, only use their library card for light entertainment reading. That leaves 1.5%, Doug, according to the American Library Association, of American adults who both have and use a library card for anything other than light entertainment reading.
Right.
Now, that's very telling. That's very telling. I like to tell the story about the actor who played Marcus Welby, M.D. Massive. It was one of the most popular shows on TV back in the 1960s.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Marcus Welby, M.D. Now, we have a handsome actor pretending to be a medical doctor. And he got several hundred letters a week by people who were literate and could actually write, asking for medical advice.
Right.
Keeping in mind that about half the Americans in this country are either semi-literate or illiterate. Now, what's you know, and we've you probably saw the video of the gentleman on the beach on 4th of July in Los Angeles asking people, what are we celebrating on the 4th of July? And the guy from Canada could answer the question, but almost none of the native-born Americans could.
Which is damn frightening, yet they're pushing critical race theory down our throats. The school boards are, but we're standing up, and that's the other reason why something's got to happen is because there's a grassroots uprising with the school districts and locally. So you're exactly right. The ignorance is appalling. It really is, of our young people, college students. It's appalling. But yet, you know.
Well, the founding fathers had no literacy, you know, required no literacy test to vote. We had a higher rate of literacy in 1776 than we do now, I believe. I would not be opposed to a literacy test to cast a ballot. We have people casting ballots for a president who also write letters to a TV actor asking for medical advice.
Right.
We have people casting ballots who don't know what we celebrate on the fourth day of July every year. And as I've said frequently, the candidate who can convince the most illiterate voters to vote for them is the candidate that will win, because it's such a massive block of both literate and semi-literate voters. But that's what it's come down to, unfortunately. The candidate who can convince the most illiterate voters will win. And that's my reality, Doug. I don't know what yours is, but that's my reality.
You mentioned, I just kind of on a humorous note, you mentioned Marcus Welby. I'm going to start calling you Paul Drake.
Half the women in the country were in love with Paul Drake, so I'll take that.
There you go, from Perry Mason. I almost said Ironside, but Perry Mason. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Well, I had a Paul Drake moment, by the way. Your listeners appreciate this. I'm in a murder trial as a defense investigator. I was with Mr. Charles Shaw, who most people wouldn't recognize from the movie The Great Escape. Steve McQueen pretended to do in a movie what Mr. Shaw did in real life. He captured and escaped from German POW camps 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in this murder trial. The jury's selected, and our client has told us once again, there's a photograph of me with a defensive wound where the dead guy was a martial arts karate expert. And these guys were friends, and there was alcohol involved in women. It was a bar. And so he says, there's a photograph. And the public defender had it. We took it over from the public defender. There's a photograph of me with this bruise on my thigh the size of a football. And we couldn't find it. So I go make a phone call to the public defender, and I said, can you look at your file one more time, please? One more time, and see if that photograph's in there. They get back with me. They said, yep, John, it's here. I said, we got a trial going on right now. This man's on trial for first-degree murder. We need that photograph. So the investigator from the public defender brought it to the courthouse. He hands it to me. I walk in the courtroom during an open session and hand it to Mr. Shaw. And Mr. Shaw has it admitted as evidence right in front of the jury. And the prosecuting attorney, he turned beet red. This man got so angry so fast because under the rules of discovery, we were supposed to reveal that before the trial started, but we couldn't reveal what we didn't have. Anyway, that photograph was what it took to convince the jury that our man actually was defending his life against a karate expert, and he was not convicted of first degree murder as a consequence of that photograph. So it was my Paul Drake moment when I walked into the courtroom with that photograph.
Yeah, that's a good story. Yeah.
Oh, it was really a cliffhanger.
Man.
It was really
And very, and a lot of people, you know what, folks, murder trials are tedious and they don't have those Perry Mason moments like that in real life. But to have one like that, Paul Drake or John Moore, thelibertyman.com, that's pretty impressive. I've got to tell you, that's very impressive.
Well, I'd rather not be impressed and rather have the evidence before the trial started, quite frankly. But
no one likes, you know, contrary to what you see on TV, no one likes surprises in a trial of any kind, murder trials especially. So, yeah.
Well, I knew the prosecutor and I were friends. We're still friends. But, you know, he's in the middle of something that's really a big deal. And for these little country prosecutors, they may do one serious trial a year, maybe one or two, anything of a serious matter. So it was a big deal for him and his career. And he had every right to be upset. And we had an obligation to present the evidence, of course, to get in front of the jury. It worked out, you know, the way it should have worked out. And that was a good thing.
No, that's great. I think 2 days ago, John Bowne had presented the, I believe it was the COVID lie. You know, we all know it's a lie, okay? But again, every once in a while we have additional information that comes forward. The title of the video is The COVID Lie Presses Onward. And I thought it was a pretty good summary of where we are today. Do you mind if we play that right now?
Let's hear it.
Since we're talking about this. Okay, go ahead and play that. That would be video three. Or no, I'm sorry, video... Which one? Video four.
The wheels have completely come off the COVID-19 fraud. Why did they never have a vaccine for just the basic common cold? The coronavirus is the main cause of the common cold. If you're debilitated on the right vitamins, minerals, it will go in, it will replicate, and you will get sick. That's known science. Well, because there's too many variants of it, there's hundreds of thousands a year. There's millions. I mean, they're always finding more, more, more. There's just like fish in the sea.
Influenza is a specific type of infection caused by a specific virus. So that's usually influenza A or influenza B virus. The cold, on the other hand, is caused by hundreds of different types of viruses.
And it's our body's defenses that defeat that 99.999% of the time. Not taking a vaccine that is specifically for one variant when viruses are constantly changing, and their own medical science admits when you take a vaccine like this, it causes your body to slough off things that basically are other variants of the virus. That's even Wall Street Journal. Well, here it is out of the VAERS reporting system. Reported deaths, COVID vaccines, more than the last 10 years combined. And they think about 1 in 40 is the real number, not 1 in 10, not 1 in 100. About 1 in 40 of these things get put down as COVID. So it's 40 times worse than that. 40 times 5,888 dead. Oh, and now the FDA adds warning to COVID vaccine about risk of heart inflammation. No longer just saying, oh, it's rare. It's very common. And estimates are now out that you're 500 times more likely to die from a COVID vaccine than from COVID if you are young. Who urges fully vaccinated people to continue to wear masks as Delta COVID variant spreads? Oh, a variant of the cold virus. My goodness, we can't ever leave our houses again. People better wake up now, folks. BBC, Andrew Marr says he caught COVID after getting the vaccine.
I got coronavirus last week. I'd been double jabbed earlier in the spring and felt, if not king of the world, at least almost entirely immune. And yet I got it.
Bill Maher finally waking up. He's totally, absolutely getting it now and saying, wait a minute. We've got Google and Facebook invested at the Wuhan lab. We've got them invested billions in these vaccines, and then they're involved covering up? That's criminal.
Facebook banned any post for 4 months about COVID coming from a lab. A Wall Street Journal reporter asked the head of Google's health division, notice that they don't do autofill searches for coronavirus lab leak the way they do it for any other question. And the guy said, well, we want to make sure the search isn't leading people down pathways that we would find to be not authoritative information. Well, you were wrong, Google and Facebook. Right. We don't know. The reason why we want you is because we're checking on this shit. He said, we want to ensure the first thing users see is information from the CDC, the WHO. That's who I'm checking on. The WHO has been very corrupt about a lot of shit. The CDC has been wrong about a lot of shit. This is outrageous that I can't look this information up. And now they're doing it with this drug, ivermectin. They threw Brett Weinstein off YouTube, or almost. He's one strike away. YouTube should not be telling me what I can see about ivermectin. Ivermectin isn't a registered Republican. It's a drug.
They're obsessed with depopulation. It's their cult. So they paid to have the viruses found in the wild. They paid to have them spliced. Facebook and Google. Facebook and Google aren't just big tech companies. They are the tip of the New World Order attack system. They are the trillion-pound gorilla on our back.
All right, so, John, and thank you. I guess I kind of grabbed the wrong clip, but or I mislabeled it. But John, so what you had been saying about ivermectin is it's being proved true. What we heard from this video, Google and Facebook, not only are censoring information, but they funded... according to this, they funded some of the actual research and investigation. So there's that. And let me throw one more thing at you that maybe you haven't heard. Natalie Winters from the National Pulse came out today. Hunter Biden, of all people, invested in a pandemic firm collaborating with Peter Daszak from Echo Health Alliance and the Wuhan lab. Okay, so through Rosemont Seneca Technology Partners, which is an investment firm led by Hunter Biden, who was a lead financial backer of a company called MetaBiota, a pandemic tracking and response firm that partnered with Echo Health Alliance and Peter Daszak and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So you, in addition to the objective of depopulation and censoring, you've got the funding and the usual suspects. Just saying.
Well, no surprise there, Doug. No surprise at all. The evidence is, as we would say in our mutual careers, clear and convincing that the Chinese flu was created in a laboratory. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. And that the COVID vaccines, which aren't vaccines, are killing people. Yeah. It's our job as broadcast journalists is to educate and inform people. This is literally a matter of life and death. Now, there's many topics, many things that are going on that aren't a matter of life and death. This is, however, every person that does not take the COVID vaccine is another life we save. That's how urgent this is. Now, I believe Biden promised 70% vaccination right by the 4th of July, which is, I believe this coming Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. That 70% is not and will not be reached. It's around 50%, give or take a few percentage points either way. The changes in our society and our culture, our country, will be without precedence. It will be worse than what happened in Russia in World War II. Russia lost 20 million people. We're going to lose a lot more than that, a lot more than 20 million. We're going to lose tens of millions of Americans, either dead or disabled. Now, I wasn't on with you last week because I was visiting with my daughter, but did we talk before about what's going on with the corporate recruiters, Doug, you and I?
I think from memory, John, I think we briefly brushed on that, but please, let's tell
our audience, first of all, what is a corporate recruiter? Well, there's two kinds, in-house, working for a corporation as an employee, and outside vendors who meet the needs of their clients. A corporate recruiter is a man or a woman who finds people to work in a corporation. Inside, people might be called HR, human resources. Well, we're finding out that outside vendors, because this one outside vendor, she recruits for the oil and gas industry. She's gone public. It may cost her some clients, but she didn't mention any specific company. She's getting requests from her clients to fill jobs that will be necessary, because within 2 to 3 years, these jobs are going to open up. These are jobs currently held by people who've had the COVID shot. And the companies they work for know that within 2 to 3 years, these people will either be permanently disabled or dead. Now, the example is one woman.
Yeah, you mentioned that before, and I just want to make sure. This is what you're telling me is, I mean, you've vetted that information, right?
No, I'm taking this woman at her word.
Okay, all right.
I did not. There's no third party verification.
Okay.
I've been around the corporate world enough and long enough to know that it's the nature of these corporations to take measures to preserve themselves.
That's true.
To be able to work.
Yeah.
And I've been in board meetings with Fortune 500 companies. Their job is to make money for their stockholders. That means keeping the business in business. Of course it does. And these airlines are a great example of decisions being made improperly and poorly, because they put all their pilots and their flight crews at risk because of these COVID shots. We've had more than a 500% increase in canceled flights. The only public statement is that we don't have crew members. Well, why would that be? Men and women who are pilots, co-pilots, and flight attendants are some of the healthiest people on the planet. The pilots have to go through very rigorous physicals about every 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I've got a friend who's a pilot for a major airline, and yes, even if there's a heart murmur, believe me, they're
put on inactive status until that thing's taken care of.
Yep.
And they should be. They should be.
Yep.
Of course they should be. That's not unreasonable at all. It's the way it should be.
Mm.
So the explanation that we don't have staff, when they plan these flights, they have staff, or the flights wouldn't be scheduled in the first place, would they? They have fully functional, checked out aircraft ready to go. They have pilots, co-pilots, and flight attendants ready to go, or they wouldn't book these flights in the first place. So they booked the flights, and then, oh no, now we don't have the crew. Well, what happened? What happened to the healthy men and women who were going to be piloting and co-piloting these aircraft? Well, they got sick. That's what happened. We don't know, because I've got your pilot friend might be able to help you privately. I would go ahead and talk to your pilot friend. I have a friend connected to the airline industry. We're making discreet inquiries. That began over the weekend. This is all new. With the death of 4 British Airways pilots in a week, due to undisclosed health reasons, once again, some of the most healthy men and women that there are, these pilots, these commercial airline pilots, it's very disturbing. And what was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago, Doug, that airlines were warning people with the COVID shot not to fly at all?
I think they came out and said for at least 2 weeks, and there was some.
That's just a guess. Is all that.
Yeah, there was some really big ambiguity behind the statement, but yes, it was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
Well, those are the kind of statements that are written by lawyers to achieve the goal of diminishing their liability, but not hurting the business.
Right.
That's how these things come into being. These statements come into being. They have attorneys that write these things so that if and when they ever end up in court, they can say, well, look, we warn these people. While at the same time, the warning is plain vanilla enough that people won't be scared into not booking a flight. Now, the 2 week time period is just a guess.
It's arbitrary. You're correct on that. Yes.
We don't know. People like Dr. Mike Yaden, he's at the top of my list of good guys, even he doesn't know. It's just a guess.
Right.
So.
And yeah, I mean, you and I both have talked to enough medical doctors, whether it's Dr. Yaden or Dr. Tenpenny or, insert name of virologist or medical doctor here. I mean, it's that simple. So we know that there's much amiss. John, you know, one thing that really just absolutely sent me over the edge. Now, you were talking about the jab, okay, the genetic juice, I'll call it. But one of the things about this genetic juice that really just really hacked me off, did you happen to see the CEO of Make-A-Wish Foundation, Richard Davis?
I heard about this. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Richard Davis is the CEO of Make-A-Wish Foundation. And, folks, in case you don't know what – and believe it or not, there are people who don't know what Make-A-Wish Foundation is. But they treat children, terminally ill children. They grant them a wish, whether, you know, hey, I want to go to Disney World or Disneyland or whatever, or
I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. So they get to be a fireman for a day, a policeman for a day. Their family goes to Disney World. Yeah, that's what they do.
So, I had to show this to my wife, and even she was just absolutely astounded by this, because I would, and I'll say this, I will no longer ever support Make-A-Wish Foundation henceforth. But the Richard Davis came out and said, in order to be a part, if you want your wish granted, then the child has to have the jab, but the siblings and parents have to as well. So, in other words, you can't have your wish granted. You can't take part of our program unless you are, vaccinated. Okay. Now they tweaked that because of the blowback that they got, because, of course, in many situations, the jab juice is not available for certain ages of children. And nor is it recommended, but that said, you know, so they tweaked that a little bit, but the policy is still there. John, I mean, this is akin to saying, in my view, you know, you've got a 70-year-old individual or 75, 80, whatever, terminally, you know, ill with terminal cancer, and having the doctor or whoever say, well, we're not going to prescribe you painkillers because you could possibly get addicted to them. I mean, in my mind, that's the same thing.
It's very similar.
You got to be out of your flipping mind. And if that doesn't really show that this is more than science, this is a cult of, I don't know what kind of cult it is, a cult of Satan, I believe. A satanic cult in my mind. I don't know what it is, but I just couldn't believe this, John. I just couldn't believe it.
Well, it's off the charts crazy to demand a child who is terminally ill get a make-believe vaccine for something that kills 0.3% of the people who get it and all their family members. I hope there's enough pushback that they pull that. It's only been a few days, and maybe the pushback would be enough that they pull that criteria, which is absolutely insane and very unfortunate. I always had great respect for the Make-A-Wish people because of the work they did for these children who are weeks or days or months away from death, to grant them that one wish to help them have something in their life that brings them joy. But to do this is just wrong. It's wrong in every which way you look at it. And I'm very disappointed that the Make-A-Wish Foundation, I would encourage people to no longer make donations to the Make-A-Wish.
I agree.
And let them know if you've been a regular donor, let them know that you will stop being a regular donor as long as that policy, money speaks. As long as that policy is in effect, that you will no longer make a donation to Make-A-Wish. And hopefully there'll be enough pushback that they'll drop that policy. That would be my goal. How about you, Doug?
Yeah, and I'll just say this. I don't usually say this, but as a family, my family donates to Make-A-Wish. Ain't no more. In fact, after I showed my wife this, she wrote this is not like her, but she wrote a message to Make-A-Wish that boy, if I read it, you know, I'd consider myself dressed down. So, yeah, no more money coming from the Hagman family, which is, of course, different from the business. The business doesn't do that. But yes, this is just so absolutely crazy. But John, you know, in my, again, I'm trying to work this out in my head. If the people who embrace depopulation know that this, all four of these, juice jabs are going to incapacitate or kill people, the recipients of this. And we've got, 50%, whatever the percentage is at any given time with one or two, jabs or whatever. This can't end well because if people.
No, it won't.
Okay.
No.
So here's in my mind, and I've talked to so many people who cannot articulate this. I can't articulate this and I'm trying to. They cannot explain to me what will happen when adverse reactions and death from this particular gene therapy. What will happen when this begins to, when people start dropping dead or having heart attacks or blood clots or strokes or dementia early onset or miscarriage is already happening. But how will people react? Will they say, oh, that's not on the, on the jab. That's from XYZ or whatever. I mean, I'm trying to work this out in my head. Can you explain this to me? How you see this playing out?
Well, it'll be initially a slow increase from the relatively small numbers of deaths and disabled people we have now. That will increase and spike to a high point of maximum deaths, and then decrease after that as people that have got the jabs have died off.
Okay. Hold it right there.
Well, the response of the media will be silence at first. And just disregard it. Once it gets to a certain point, they'll have to address it. And they'll say that people are dying from COVID as a consequence of people who did not get the vaccination. They'll still be trying to push the vaccinations.
Okay. So an unjabbed Brian Stelter-like individual will say, well, it's because of the virus or a variant, or even worse, it's because the holdouts, the vaccine hesitant or those holding out not to get the jab, and people like you and I are saying, no, don't do it. It's our fault that these people are dead.
I fully expect that to be part of the story that will come out. They may have already fabricated new vaccines to deal with the Delta virus variation and push that. In fact, I'm already seeing healthcare professionals recommend that you get one shot of each. Get one from Pfizer, get one from Moderna, or get one from Moderna and one from AstraZeneca. So that's already happening as we speak. And people are doing it. Within my own family, there's a young man. He's a professional pilot. I won't say anything more than that. Young man, still, I think he's less than 20 years old. He and his wife would like to have children, but now they both got the COVID shots, and they're both be sterile, and he's put himself at risk of blood clots as well. The tragedies we're already experiencing are beyond comprehension. Going back to what happened with Russia. Russia lost 20 million people in World War II. That changed their society and their culture forever, as far as human lifetimes, for another 2-3 generations to the future. The carnage that took place in World War II. We're looking at similar carnage here. Tens of millions of Americans, either permanently disabled, are sterilized, are dead, Doug. I'm praying daily to be able to wrap my head around this and to come to a personal psychological accommodation with it. it's difficult. You know, when I was 20 years old, I was reading the obituaries. 20-year-olds don't read the obituaries, Doug, but I did because I knew I'd see my friends there as a consequence of the Vietnam War.
Go ahead.
Well, I read the local obituaries because I, you know, there's a high likelihood I'll see somebody I know there.
Yeah.
But our society will change in so many ways. So this, any funeral home company that's publicly traded, this would be a great time to buy some stock because their business is going to go up dramatically for funeral homes. Absolutely dramatically.
Oh, man. That's okay. This whole thing is sick. Now the question, and I know you and I discussed this before, but I wanted to address this again. The question that many people have is, well, okay, and again, John, humor me with this because this is a question that comes up. Well, if the globalists want to get rid of a segment of the population, why would they get rid of those who are actually believe in the government, what the government says, actually follow orders, you know, the mask wearers and, oh, the government says you need this vaccine, you know, so they rush in and get the vaccine. Why is that the target audience or target the population initially?
That's not by design. I've been around these people and the globalist people who think this way, and they don't think like normal human beings. They look at almost all of us as useless eaters. In their mind, Doug, they can take the people left over, regardless of who they are, and control them to do what they want to be done. That's how they think. They look at all of us as useless eaters, and the ones that live will be left alive to serve their purposes and be their servants. And otherwise, yeah, they really don't care.
So it really doesn't. It really doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. They don't give a damn who they kill.
No, they don't.
Yeah. All right. And that to me speaks to the grandiose level of the plan of depopulation and the large overview of how bad this was going to get. You know, look, I know that we've had this discussion before. When's this going to start happening? It could happen soon. It could happen, you know, within a couple of years, number of years. But it's going to, when this happens, we're going to be ripe, and you've talked about this before, we're going to be ripe for, and I will use the dreaded air quotes, invasion, okay, by foreign adversaries. And invasion from within, or by enemies within, by those already here for takeover. So, you know, I can see how this is going to play out.
Well, our enemies, Russians and Chinese, they have their own political considerations. They're prepared to lose as many, especially China, lose as many people as they need to achieve their goals. The estimates vary on how many people were died as a consequence of Mao Zedong taking over their own country. They're willing to cause the deaths of 50 million of their own people to take over their own country. Now, if they would kill 50 million of their own people, what value does American lives have to the communist Chinese? Well, the answer is basically none. The secret speech given by the top Chinese general, which is an English translation of it on my website, Jeff Nyquist makes reference to this speech frequently.
Yep.
The goal of the communist Chinese is to control America with no Americans. That's their goal.
Nailed it. I mean, that statement alone should tell everyone what they need to know, in my view.
Exactly. It will be a fight to the death, literally. There's not going to be any prisoners. There's not going to be any rules of war. It will be an absolute death, fight to the death for those of us who are in this fight, which would be all Americans who are left alive once the COVID virus is done with us, once the people have died off from the vaccines. You know, they want to kill as many of us as possible without them losing their own people. Of course they do. Mm-hmm. They want to kill as many of us as possible, all right, and have this whole civil war scenario is to have Americans kill each other so the Chinese have less deaths on their own side. So while they're prepared to lose people on their own side, they prefer not to. They prefer to have Americans kill each other. They prefer to have the Chinese flu kill us. They prefer to have the vaccine kill us. But when it comes down to it, they'll have their, first of all, the first wave will be barefoot peasants with AK-47s from Central and South America. Hmm. They will take the brunt of American patriots. And once that's over, that's when the real Chinese troops and the real Russian troops hit the dirt and do what they got to do to conquer us. That's what's coming, Doug, and I can't say if it's 30 days or 6 months or a year from now, but that's what's coming.
I agree with you on this, and this is why it's so critically important for me to look at the larger picture and to listen to people that I know and trust, of course, John Moore, you know, and others. Folks, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you listen to his program, daily program, weekdays, as well as visit his website, thelibertyman.com. A couple of things. Okay, to get to the point that you just described. All right, I'm looking at events. Again, I mentioned the Arizona audit, other audits to show that President Trump did not lose that the 2020 election. The whole thing was thrown, whether it be by typical run-of-the-mill voter fraud or, you know, election fraud, or whether the machines played a part into this. Regardless, President Trump, in my view, based on the available evidence, handily won. So you're looking at, again, this convergence of events where it's going to be undeniable, and we're going to have a problem. You're looking at the timing of this pandemic and the actions of Google, Facebook, Hunter Biden, some of the usual suspects. So all of this coming together. So therefore, okay, and the threat, President Trump, as well as the people who want to make America great again and keep America great, the threat that we represent to them. Roger Stone was on with Alex Jones a month ago saying, hey, I'll tell you what, false flag's coming. And he, again, this weekend. And he kind of went into some detail, or at least addressed the, shall we say, the more pertinent points of what's taking place. Do you mind if we play that clip?
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Please.
All right. Eric the Tech, if we can go to clip two, let's start at what's highlighted there, 7:54.
Breaking news, a major development in the Manhattan District Attorney's investigation into the Trump Organization. The DA office telling Donald Trump's attorneys that criminal charges could be filed against Trump Organization as soon as next week. The charges are believed to be tied to allegations of tax evasion over compensation paid to top executives.
And, you know, Pamela, the refusal of the former president to acknowledge that he lost by 7 million votes. It wasn't close, for God's sake. And apparently a majority of his party is still so enthralled to him that they still believe that the American people did not make the judgment that they clearly made.
And Mitt Romney came out and made the same desperate statements going, oh, you know, he lost by 7 million votes. Yeah, after the polls closed, he was winning by record amounts before that. So joining us is Roger Stone. Here's the headline. Roger Stone predicts a Donald Trump criminal indictment is on the horizon on my show. That was May 30th, a month ago. Here's another one. A Trump longtime ally, Roger Stone, says former president must prepare to be indicted. Again, that's a month ago. And here's the new headline. Trump Organization could face criminal charges in New York as soon as next week. Again, unprecedented. He's got sources up there. We hope this doesn't happen, but they are telegraphing it's going to happen. Is this because they're so scared of Trump leading the Republican Party and going out and challenging their attempt to federalize elections?
Alex, that's exactly what it is. Now, every one of those stories, of course, you have to go to the fifth paragraph before I'm quoted as saying these are fabricated charges, that these are contrived, politically motivated charges. I don't believe that the president or his real estate company did anything wrong. This is some kind of a case of selective prosecution, and it is being used because they are deathly afraid that Donald Trump will be on the ballot again in 2024. He surely beat them once. He most likely beat them twice. By the way, did Al Gore criticize Hillary Clinton when she demanded recounts in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and refused to concede that she had lost? I don't recall that happening. Do you? So this is pure politics, and I can tell you exactly what happened here. The Mueller investigation and the thugs working there simply took the fruits of their exhaustive examination, in which they could not find criminal charges against Donald Trump, and they shipped them to Cy Vance in Manhattan. That's essentially what happened. I do think that the president needs to be very wary of this. If I were him, I would not be confident about the lawyers who handled his impeachment. That fellow, Bruce Castor, was an embarrassment. What did he mean when he said Joe Biden won the election fair and square?
Okay,
he did not.
And stop it right there. The reason that I wanted to start at that moment is because, again, talking about the convergence of events, false flags, Roger Stone, he does get into this, but this is part of that foundation of, John, what would you call this? This back and forth, this low-level, low-scale warfare that's taking place within our country. Do you know what I mean? I mean, this is all part of it. It's going after and salting the earth behind President Trump. They need to do that. They need to erase President Trump. What's that going to do to the patriots, to the American exception? You know, America is great. You know what I'm saying? What's that going to do to people like us? Are we going to, what's our response going to be if they not only indict the corporation, which they can do, and I'm sure you're familiar with that whole process, but if they would actually criminally indict President Trump, what's that going to do to the public at large?
Well, as far as his base of supporters, they're not going to be swayed from supporting President Trump. We went to two impeachments with this president. It didn't change his base of support at all. Most of us, myself included, will feel that any criminal charges against President Trump are not based on reality. It's a pretty heavy deal to be impeached by the United States House of Representatives and to have a trial in front of the United States Senate.
Twice.
That's far exceeds the importance or the historical precedence of a federal grand jury, for example, or a federal prosecutor somewhere, or a state prosecutor filing criminal charges against the former president of the United States.
Okay,
he's already been through the worst of the worst.
Okay,
and already has. And
I agree, except if it threatens his freedom. You know, imagine the glee of Maddow and Hayes, Chris Hayes and Rachel Maddow. Imagine their glee of seeing, President Trump, of course, but maybe his son or son-in-law or his closest advisors in handcuffs, being brought before the criminal court of the Southern District of New York. Imagine that optic. And again, I'm thinking the enraged supporter. I mean, we would be enraged, I believe, because that's unprecedented. Yes, two impeachments. Yes, the Senate. Yes, it was bad. But this, threatening the freedoms, using the criminal justice system to go after a former president and to kill a movement, that's my problem that's beyond the pale. I mean, that is, And the reason I brought that up now, too, and you can speak to this, I've never seen an attorney speaking about public policy, which Rudy Giuliani did, making policy or public advocacy statements being disbarred by the New York Supreme Court. Rudy Giuliani, his law license was suspended by the New York State Supreme Court for his public policy, public advocacy positions. I mean, to me, okay, so there's a full court press against President Trump, the supporters at that level. And it's rolling downward. And it also involves the 6th of January. So anyway, that's kind of put all this together. Maybe it might even sound like I've got ADHD, okay? But
there's no such thing as ADHD, but go ahead, sir.
Well, you know what I mean. It's like I'm jumping around here, but all of these little data points are showing me that the full court press is on, man. I mean, they have pulled out all the stops.
They have no choice, Doug. They have no choice. They're, you know, I spent a friend of mine. She was the campaign chairperson for three different presidential campaigns. She always keeps her name in the background out of the public eye. I spent 3 days with her and her two top advisors at the family home in Florida. And I learned a lot about what goes on at that level. And it was an education for me. I thought I knew a bit about how politics worked, but at that level, it's all different, Doug. And I learned a lot about how they do what they do, why they do what they do, how they advise the candidates to change their normal way they speak, to have a different way of speaking in public so they won't come across as quote-unquote too intellectual, as happened in the 1956 election when the man running against Dwight Eisenhower was publicly ridiculed for being quote-unquote too intellectual. Now, I was only 9 years old at the time, but I was reading the newspaper, and I thought at the time, how is it possible to be a candidate for U.S. president and be too intellectual? But it didn't make sense to me at the time, but now as a mature adult, it does make perfect sense, because you're going to lose voters when you appear to be too intellectual.
That's a sad statement, isn't it?
It's a sad commentary, but yeah. It was that way 60 years ago, 60 plus years ago, and it's still that way. It's still that way.
Okay.
And these men and now women are coached. They have professional coaching to coach them to not speak the way they normally speak, with their educated vocabulary, their diction, the way they deliver their speeches, so as not to appear to be too intellectual.
Wow.
And yeah, nothing's left to chance at that level of politics. Nothing is left to chance. The way they talk, how they dress, what they say, what they don't say.
Right.
Everything is very carefully scripted before they ever do anything publicly.
Okay.
Giuliani's going to be okay. I'm sure there's an appeals process. It may go, I don't know where it would be. Probably the U.S. Supreme Court may be able to appeal it. Or he might just get a law license from a more friendly state, such as Montana, for example, or South Dakota. Some place where people think normally. Maybe Idaho might be a place where he'll have a bar license, you know, and he'll be fine.
Well,
Giuliani will be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we watched President Trump leave New York. We watched Roger Stone leave New York, and I think Giuliani's probably next. But it's a sad thing when you've got to leave your home because it's behind enemy lines at this point. Now, the reason I played that up to that point. Now, if I could just continue this, jump ahead now on that video. And this is what I was talking about in terms of the false flags. This is what I was, because, one of the, I'll just say this. Roger Stone's plugged in. And like him, hate him, I don't care. Not you, John, but I mean to the audience. If you don't like him, I don't care. But one thing I do know, he's plugged in. He knows what's going on.
That's right.
Okay. You might not like the messenger. It's the message that's important. So if we can just pick this up just for a couple more minutes at the next mark there. And this is kind of the juice here of what I was referring to. Go ahead.
Roger, it was you worked with the group to get the video showing Democrats calling for violence that ended up one lawyer you got to actually play it when the others didn't. It was you that actually worked behind the scenes and is the reason they dropped it and didn't go into the full trial. You don't want the credit, but you need to get it to show why the enemy hates you so much. So give people the inside baseball so Trump knows what he's facing right now and protects himself this time.
Well, actually, as President Trump, we made exactly the right decision. Listen, David Schoen, who's appeared many times with Sean Hannity and who's formerly a liberal Democrat, but truly one of the finest lawyers I've ever met. The only lawyer I've ever met who not only has enormous courage, but he understands the overlay of politics and the law. And he understands that things that happen outside the courtroom have an impact on what happens inside the courtroom. In this case, things that happen outside the Senate chamber have an impact on what happens inside the Senate chamber. Now, I know that several of the president's lawyers told him that Schoen did not want to address the Senate. That was a lie. That Schoen did not want to be out front. That was a lie. If you go back and look at that, the single strongest argument for Donald Trump, a man who quickly dismissed the constitutionality of the impeachment because, firstly, the law says that the Chief Justice shall preside. Shall. It means it's not an option. No mention of the Senator from Vermont there.
Secondarily, Roger, just what you told me on the phone, tell the listeners, because here's the bottom line. The other lawyer said, Biden won the election and everything, and went along with a sham, illegal impeachment without the Chief Justice there, as you just said. He called the elephant in the room.
I'm getting there, Alex. So the key point here is that the president's other attorneys were opposed to showing the extraordinarily dramatic and hard-hitting video in which you see various Democrats, such as Maxine Waters, Chuck Schumer, many others, calling for violence, the violence we saw last summer in the Pacific Northwest and in the Midwest, as well as Philadelphia and D.C. So I really think that David Schoen did an exemplary job for the president. That is, if I were making the decision, he is the man I would put in charge because he's a fighter. He's not worried about his next case. He's not worried about what the jury in this case thought about him. He wants to win for his client. Let's go back to the Insurrection Act because it's a perfect example. I know for an absolute fact that Sip Alone and Eric Hirschman and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs talked the president out of signing what he should have signed. This is not because I'm in favor of violence. This is because it is the duty of the president of the United States to preserve order. And what was happening in Spokane and Seattle and Kenosha and Philadelphia and D.C. was an orchestrated, well-financed insurrection. It's absolutely clear. Somebody paid for those pallets of bricks. Somebody paid for the buses and the flatbeds. Somebody paid for the lawyers who were standing by to bail people out and when they were arrested. The president had that authority. I think it was a test. Sadly, the timid souls around the president, I think.
That's right. When that test was failed, they made the move to provocateur January 6th, which we'll cover in a moment, which we now know they were trying to set you and I and the president up. But incredible inside baseball, Roger, that literally you had to get with folks. I knew about this at the time, but I'm glad you're willing to tell it now. It's not about credit. And you had to go with a group, have the video produced, showing the damn clips to get one lawyer in there to show it because they were going full at Trump. No one was defending him. Both arms tied behind his back because they were making it about the law when they weren't even defending him on the law, instead of bringing in the politics of you're saying he called for violence. He didn't. Here's all the Democrats calling for violence and for killing the president. That was the ace of damn spades. They wouldn't play it. But thank God you Hail Married and got one guy in there. So now ahead of them trying to indict his organization, we need Trump to get on a war footing here and not listen to these other damn lawyers.
But let's make it clear. Donald Trump was in favor of showing that video from the very beginning.
Okay, you can stop right there. The video that he's referring to, John and the audience, is the high-definition video of what happened on the 6th. And the reason I started and stopped it there, John, is because you saw the headline about the Insurrection Act being brought up by President Trump. Right. And his closest advisors stopped him from signing the Insurrection Act. The reason I brought this up now is because more and more and more is coming out about January 6th, that it was a false flag in the by definition, in the definition of it was set up by, facilitated by federal agents, okay, which there is a beautiful video that shows, that actually proves this, 29 minutes, I believe, Bobby Powell was the person behind this, as well as others, but he had the definitive clip. And so I said all of that and showed all of that to say this. I believe, John, and then you take it from here, what we are going to witness is the Insurrection Act by the puppet Mr. Marbles Biden being deployed against us. And that is how we, that's going to do three things, along with additional, shall I say, COVID restrictions, the jab, genetic jab, the, taking down of the Trump organization by Cy Vance and his team. It's all going to overshadow or be the predicate to put down the insurrection, in quotation marks, that includes the Arizona audit, that includes the push toward, you know, voter, tightening up the voter process, voting process. And it's also going to embolden, as we started out in the beginning, showing you about Facebook and social media, they were part and parcel to funding the Chinese Communist Party virus. So all of this put together, the weight of evidence, in my view, shows that we, not just casually being identified as enemies of the state, we will be named as enemies of the state. Enemies. And they're going to come after you. And they're going to come after me, and they're going to come after Jones, and they're going to come after all the people we know. That's what I'm saying. And there will be a false flag in there, too, like January 6th. Go ahead, sir.
Well, they need false flags to justify whatever it is they want to do. It's critical that the powers that be go after the guns. That is not optional. It has to happen. What happened in Las Vegas a couple of years ago was a failed attempt. What happened at the school there in Massachusetts, that was another failed attempt. There have been multiple failed attempts. The one in Las Vegas was probably the most egregious because there was such a high body count. My friend Sam Andrews, you know Sam.
Sure.
He did an audio analysis, and He has enough evidence in his opinion to show that there was more than one shooter there in Las Vegas. All these attempts have failed. I don't know how it would be difficult to imagine a mass shooting worse than what happened in Las Vegas. It was horrendous what happened in Las Vegas, but they may just do that. They may just attempt to have a mass shooting that's, more horrendous than what happened in Las Vegas. It would be difficult to pull off, but they just might attempt to do that, Doug.
It's going to be a black. It's going to be a black or minority, a school, business, gathering, whatever it might be. You know, outside of Chicago, of course, because there we know that sadly the blacks are, killed every day.
But I agree with you. And the ideal situation would be a mostly minority COVID vaccination site shot up by someone who appears to be a white supremacist.
Next to a Planned Parenthood building, okay, right? I mean, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously. That would be ideal. And, of course, the shooter himself or herself, but it most likely be a white male, will be dead at the scene. That's expected.
Yes, yes.
And that will be the impetus for make-believe President Biden to sign some type of executive order, making all modern sporting rifles illegal, requiring a $200 transfer tax just to own what you already own, putting it in the same category as machine guns. That's what they want. And what they're really looking for is the pushback from the men and women who own these firearms to push back against this attempt to give them the same legal status as a machine gun, which is a $200 transfer tax, all kinds of paperwork involving photographs, fingerprints, and so forth, to be a Title II firearm. That's what's coming, Doug. I agree with you. And they have no choice. They have to disarm the public in order to achieve their goal, don't they, sir?
You know, John, when I sit back and I look at the Georgia Guidestones, you know, the population reduction, and I hear statements made by Gates, you know, that son of a, you know, and others like him, Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum. I am, sometimes my breath is taken away by the enormity of what these bastards have planned for us.
Well, going back to what they want America with no Americans.
Yeah.
That's pretty simple. And we're at the beginning of the kill-off. The Deagle Report was removed from the Internet. There's been many copies of it saved, of course, that we can still access the Deagle Report. We've wondered for several years, Doug, you and I and people in the alternative media, how will they do this? Well, warfare is not a very efficient killer. Yeah. You know, biological warfare, however, is a very efficient killer. And we're doing it to ourselves. People are lining up to get the COVID shots, to get their name in the hat for a $1 million lottery, to get free college tuition, to get free beer, all these different incentives to keep their job. We said earlier in the show, this summer of 2021 may be the last more or less normal summer that we'll see in our lifetimes.
And that's sad when you look at the children, look in their eyes. And if you've got grandchildren or children and you see mom pushing the child on a swing, you know, if here's the thing too, John, and tell me if I'm wrong, but if you're walking around and you're saying, oh, life is just, everything is good. Everything is, oh, it's just great. If that's where you're at, you're not in the fight. You're not in the fight. I don't know. Maybe I said that improperly, but if you're not uncomfortable right now, if you're not, you know, if you're not getting arrows slung at you, you know, getting hits and jabs, and you're, you know, wandering around the country, everything is just hunky dory. You're not in the fight.
Obviously not.
Am I wrong? I mean,
no, you're not at all. You're not at all. I have a couple of brilliant young mechanics working on my TR6, and I said to one over the weekend, I said, let's get this thing done so I can get some driving in before World War III starts. And he said, yeah, John, I know it's close. Young man with he's got a couple of young children, grade school kids. I've known him since he was a senior in high school, and he's covered up with work. He's excellent young mechanic. He lives in the country. He lives a mile from the nearest blacktop road, and works one job full time and has a sideline business of repairing cars and trucks on the side. He's busy. And he's got his ear to the ground. He's on top of what's going on. He knows the threats that are coming. And the men in my neighborhood know the threats that are coming. One of my neighbors, it's been more than a year ago, he was taking orders and going up to Alton, Illinois, to Winchester, Olin, and picking up cases of ammunition for people that wanted it and bringing it back and delivering it to people's homes. So people are getting ready, Doug. They're getting ready for what's coming. They know what's coming, and they're getting ready for it. They're stocking up on food. They're stocking up on ammunition, spare parts for their firearms, and they're getting ready. And when it hits the fan, they'll be ready to defend their community and defend their families, Doug. And yeah, this is not unusual. This is not unique. They're not part of any formal militia. There's an informal militia of based on friends and family and churches that will come together to defend the country. And we had that happen in Eminence, Missouri, about a year ago. The Antifa people showed up. The sheriff knew about it in advance. He only had about 8 or 10 deputies. It was a small county down in Eminence, Missouri, Shannon County. And he had 300 armed men and women waiting for Antifa when they showed up. The Antifa people took one look and they turned around and left. They knew they were outnumbered 10 to 1. And that's the way it's going to happen in many of these counties. The communists will show up. Antifa is a communist organization, in case you don't know. And they'll show up and they'll see that they're outnumbered 10 to 1 by armed and determined men and women who are under the command and control of the sheriff to protect the community, and they will leave. Now, that's our reds, red counties and red cities, small communities and bigger communities. The blue cities and that are inside blue states especially, they'll burn to the ground. And I think that may be the plan for why President Trump would be allowed to be put back in office, is to have maximal civil disorder. And that's what it would cause. Maximum civil disorder, having President Trump put back in office.
It would be the right thing to do, right? So it's almost as if allowing the right, the proper thing to happen, to map this out, let's just stipulate for a moment. Fraud is proved in several states that would flip the election. And somehow, although the mechanism right now is not known, President Trump.
It's the Supreme Court. That's the only mechanism there is.
Okay. Well. Okay. Let's.
The original jurisdiction lies with the Supreme Court.
Okay.
And it'll be a 9-0. It'll be a 9-0 decision.
And Mike Lindell.
We have four or five justices who will do the right thing for the right reasons. Four or five who will do what they're told to do.
Okay.
And that's why it's going to be 9-0. Justice Roberts is compromised and controlled. That's pretty much the consensus.
Right.
We have these other liberal judges who will do what they're told to do. And they'll be told to vote in favor of putting President Trump in office. Because that's what the powers that be want. They want maximum civil disorder. They want maximum destruction in these blue cities that are in blue states. And we have two blue cities in Missouri, but we have a very conservative former sheriff, Republican governor. He won't tolerate that. He'll put the National Guard on the streets in a heartbeat. That's Missouri, my home state. But these blue cities that are in blue states, such as California, Illinois, New York, and others, Washington and Oregon come to mind, those cities will burn to the ground. And that's what they want. They want maximum civil disorder for the following reason. That will give the pretext to bring in UN troops to restore order. That's what they're looking for. That's what they want. They want the UN troops boots on the ground in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Portland, Seattle, and so forth. That's the real goal. Getting President Trump back in office is just a method to get the real goal, which is foreign troops on the streets of America, Doug. And they'll be invited in. And people will say, I don't care if blue helmets on the street or not. If I can go to work Monday morning and pick up a steak and a six-pack of beer on the way home Monday evening, I don't care what it takes. If it's foreign troops wearing blue helmets, I'm all in favor of it, as long as I can go to work and then get back to what's normal.
And that plan is relatively exquisite in terms of its
I've been saying this for years, Doug. This is nothing new for me.
Right, right. And you said that last time we spoke. And I can see that happening. So the right, the proper, correct thing happens, but it creates such a rift in this country. I mean, now it's on, right? Now it's on. So, but wouldn't the President Trump, and of course this, I believe this is why as well that they are attempting to make him out to be a criminal as well as destroy his organization and, you know, criminal charges against his organization. So it would be so abhorrent to have a criminal or the CEO of a criminal organization back in office. It would be so abhorrent that, that the uprising would be deafening and debilitating in and of itself. Right?
I that's mean, right.
That's what you're saying.
That's exactly right. And that's what's coming. But some of our fellow alternative people that talk about a Chinese invasion. Well, initially, it's going to be invited Chinese,
right.
Invited Russians, invited here at our request to restore order. Because, Candace Owen, a brilliant black woman, absolutely brilliant, sharp mind. She said this publicly just last week. That the defund the police is part of the effort to make the crime appear to be out of control so that we need to bring in the UN peacekeepers. Not UN peacekeepers, but a national police force. That's part of it also, is to justify the existence of a national police force. Now, I've talked publicly about this before. I haven't on your show, Doug, but I was having breakfast with a former CIA guy about 20 years ago, and he revealed the location of the regional headquarters for the National Police near St. Louis. It's on Antar Road and Interstate 44, the Tyson Research Center, which was a World War II ammunition testing and storage facility right there on Interstate 44 in St. Louis County. And I've been aware of that since the mid-1990s, of unusual things taking place there, such as Southwestern Bell AT&T installing a T1 drop. A T1 drop is 500 phone lines, Doug. I worked with Mr. Shaw to take aerial photographs of the situation there where we saw construction taking place to take these old World War II concrete bunkers and make them suitable for both housing and workspace, and new structures being built also for housing and workspace at the Tyson Research Center, Highway 44, Antar Road, in St. Louis County, Missouri. That's the regional headquarters for the National Police for Eastern Missouri and probably maybe Southern Illinois as well. These facilities are being built and have been built all over the country, Doug, under different covers and different pretexts. And people need to be aware of this. They need to find out where they are in their area. They'll be done in secret. It won't be public. That won't be any news releases or press releases on all of these. It'll just be done in secret. And that's what's been going on for 25 years, Doug.
I think the real money statement that you made here is federalization of the police force. And that will then involve the militarization of the police force. Rodney Balko had written a book some years ago about the militarization of the police force. And The Hill back in January of 2020 wrote an article, or there was an article that appeared in The Hill a year plus ago. Was it January or no? No, it was a year ago now, but in July. They defund the – first quarter of defund the police, saying that, suppose that we acknowledged that local policing has been a failure in this country and it would become necessary to put it under the auspices of a single federal authority. And isn't it all about creating that single choke point, that one control point? And so I think it's brilliant. Your point is brilliant, in that respect. Okay, so it's frightening, but nonetheless brilliant. And this was right after the House passed that Comprehensive Police Reform Act. And I don't know how many people remember that or were paying attention, but so we are going to be at a crossroads pretty soon, again, at this convergence of events. You've got the last word. We've got about 10 minutes, so wherever you want to go. But, man, this is huge.
Well, it is. And people need to be aware of this and need to pray without ceasing. That's a really good thing. And work on their skills, make sure that they've and their health. Many of our listeners have health issues and dental issues. Going through a crisis is bad enough. Going through a crisis with dental issues just makes it that much worse. Most people don't want to be in a dental chair. Just make an appointment. If you have to go in, I don't recommend people going in debt, but if there's anything worthwhile going into debt for, that would be dental issues. Get those dental issues taken care of. Look at substituting expensive, dangerous pharmaceutical products with doTERRA essential oils. That would be a smart thing, because once you're cut off from those pharmaceutical products, well, you're cut off. Work on your physical fitness. Work on your mental attitude. A positive mental attitude is extremely important, very important. Work on your skill sets. Get your first aid training, your CPR up to date. Make sure you got your ham radio license so you can talk and listen both. It's not like using a cell phone. There's things you need to know. And do not anguish over what you can't do. Take joy in what you can. So there's always financial limitations. I don't care who you are. There's always financial limitations. You might be a wealthy, but you can't afford a perfectly restored P-51 Mustang with functional machine guns. I know people who have such things, but almost no normal human being can do that. But even they're limited. They can own one, but they can't own two. So take joy in what you can do. And if it's just buying an extra bag of rice and an extra bag of beans at the supermarket, then do that. Get yourself one of these vacuum sealers at your local big box store and start sealing up things with vacuum pack and put a double seal on each end, by the way. These seals do fail about 10% of the time.
Yeah, and we use that all the time, by the way. I have to say that. That's a great investment. That's a great investment.
It is. So let's do that. Let's do what's necessary and do it now. And you'll be very glad you did. And do what, make best use, make a list of things that need to be done, establish priorities, and do that. That would be a really smart thing. And I hope people will do it. They should do it. And make up your mind that you're going to get through this. You and the people you care about, especially the youngsters who can't take care of themselves, older folks that need help because of their age or infirmities, make sure that you've made a decision that you're going to do the best you can to take care of the innocent and help them get through this also. Get out of the cities. If there's one thing you can do that would be helpful, it would be to get out of the cities, Doug. And I hope people will do that also.
And
it,
you know,
needs to happen.
Yeah, I hope so too. Just a wonderful, wonderful elderly, I shouldn't say elderly, a wonderful lady from the Bronx wrote me a letter. You know who you are. I'm not going to name any names, but she was talking about herself, she's got like a lot of impairments. Okay, but the physical impairments, that is, and impediments to, moving and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is, her faith is strong, and her support system is present. So I looking at somebody like that, although, she can't get out of where she's at necessarily, I would put in her, again, her faith, in addition to her support system, is strong. So I would put her chances of survival and a lot better than others. But you're right. And what about money? When the money's, because we're facing a cataclysmic, bomb, you know, with our economy, in my view. I mean, what about money, John?
Well, it'd be wise to be diversified and have, investments that will stand up to scrutiny for the long term. Obviously gold and silver coins, trade goods that people will always be in demand. Locally here, firewood, for example, just stock up on firewood.
Yeah.
Because people like to heat their homes with firewood. Salt is a good trade good. Human being, if you're more than 100 miles from an ocean, keep in mind the following. Human beings cannot live without salt. So 25-pound bags of sea salt would be good, a good barter item, because human beings can't live without salt. Some of the original fortunes in the 19th century and even the 18th century were the families who got to the salt deposits first. And the Daniel Boone family did that in St. Charles County. It was part of the family fortune. To the salt first and controlling the salt and selling salt. Things like that. The old ways will come back. It will be hard. Getting from where we are to where we need to be is going to be difficult. EMP protection. EMP Shield has a great sale going on right now at my website at thelibertyman.com until midnight Monday, the 5th of July. Great take advantage of sales. If things are necessary and there's no sale, then get it anyway. Don't deprive yourself because you're waiting for a sale.
That
may be
if
very
you can,
foolish.
And if you can afford it, John, because we're affiliates with EMP Shield too. So, but John, you are too. So, buy more than one. I mean, there's discounts if you buy three or more, I believe it is. So, Right.
There's discounts. If you buy one, it increases the more you get up to eight.
Okay.
To the point where it's $110 off each one.
I mean, it's amazing.
That's very substantial.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
And if a lot of people do this, I mean, recovering from an EMP, whether it's a Carrington-like event from the sun or something man-made, it's going to be a lot better. Your stuff will be protected. So when things do come up, you're going to be operational where your neighbor may not. But talk to your neighbor about that. Good advice and all that. John, we're out of time. I can't believe how quickly the time's gone.
It was a quick 2 hours, Doug.
It was. Now, next week is, I believe, the 4th of July week. You and I will talk off air about next week,
okay,
what's taking place. But I just want to wish you a great week. And you
well,
a great
you,
week of programming. Yeah. And John, I love your show. And I would urge everyone to go to thelibertyman.com and tune in to John Moore and his guests. He's got just a great litany of guests, and it's always good to hear your shows. I love them. All right.
Well, thank you, Doug. We appreciate it. We'll see. We'll talk about doing a show next Monday.
That's all right, fine, sir. All right. God bless you, my friend. You hang
thank
in there.
Thank you.
Wow, that was a quick 2 hours. I'm going to tell you. But folks, I guess the message I'm trying to get across from you, if there's nothing else, understand how, and I know that most people do. And Alex Jones got very emotional last week. Eric the Tech, did you have to see that episode where he was very, okay, no, he said no. He got very emotional. And I understand that. I understand that we are at a point in time when I'm not sure we can stop what's coming. I'm not sure we can handle. I'm not sure if we can fight without losing some, you know, precious people around us. I'm not so sure that when we say, "Hey, you know what? I'm not suicidal." I'm not so sure that's going to work anymore. Because they're coming for all of us. If you are a white Christian, conservative, okay, I will just say this. They're coming for you. They're coming for us. to thank you, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your support and for being part of this program. I want to thank those people who send me emails, send me letters. I read them all. And the information that I derive from them, to the medical doctors who contact me with things who cannot be named for obvious reasons, and for people who are within different government agencies who say, hey, watch out for this, watch out for that. I want to thank you for your bravery. Folks, until tomorrow, may God bless each and every one of you. I was talking to Stan earlier today. We might have something special for you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless. Have a great night.